There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The holiday music sounds so weird in February. Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast. Hi, Jenna.
Hey, Danny.
How are you?
Really good. Happy we're in the new year.
I know. It's weird to say. What are we allowed to say that until?
I know. I think the 10th.
Yeah.
I made that up in my brain. But okay. I feel like right after the 10th, it's... You know, happy MLK Day.
But we haven't started talking to our listeners in so long since before the holidays.
Yeah.
So I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday season. And we always say, for years now, we've said we're going to come in the middle of the year or sometime throughout the year and do a recap. And so finally, we're here to do an oft-requested film.
Yes, because we did another Gary Marshall.
Yes, we did
for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and one of these days we'll have to do Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Mother's Day, because I think that's the last in the trifecta of these holiday films. Yes, we did New Year's Eve. One of my favorite episodes, actually, that we've done is New Year's Eve. So if people haven't listened to that, you can go back and listen to it from a couple years ago. But yes, today we are covering Valentine's Day, which was the first of these Gary Marshall holiday movies, starring pretty much everybody. And Jenna, I'm going to play a little trailer clip for us now,
perfect,
and then we'll come back and then we'll talk about
it. We'll hash it out.
I can't wait.
I got a feeling.
Last night
was
amazing.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Well, I used to be a gymnast.
Did I hurt you?
It's not like I'm going to sleep with one person for the rest of my life, right? I mean, who does that?
Crazy people like us.
Checking in for two?
Okay.
I mean, one and a dog.
Oh, great.
Happy Valentine's Day. You too. Oh, I know that we'll have a ball. If we get down, go out and just lose it all. Let's kick it off.
Tonight's the night. Love is the only shocking act left on the planet.
I can't eat, Grandpa.
What's the matter? Are you sick?
Love sick.
You're going to miss a good time tonight.
Valentine's Day is about love. It's about romance. It's about...
Valentine's Day.
It's my fault that I'm alone on Valentine's Day. My closest relationship is with my BlackBerry.
Right.
Thank God it vibrates. Tonight's going to be...
Jenna, no, I'm the only. I played the trailer, and you can't hear it because I have headphones on. It's a technical thing.
But it's fun to watch you.
Yeah, I can hear the trailer, and you're basically just like watching me react to the trailer through my headphones. And I was trying to whisper to you while I was playing that the whole trailer is set to Black Eyed Peas' "I Got a Feeling,"
oh my God,
which is just so of that era, and also reminds me of New Year's Eve because I think that trailer was set to like Pink's "Get the Party Started" or one of, I don't know. It was just like all that era, which makes me laugh.
I love that era, 2010.
Yeah,
that's when it came out.
I know, and the whole trailer is just like presenting these actors who are in this movie.
But, yeah, all 40 of them.
Yeah, all 40 of them who all just have one line, and it's like, well, it's not really a draw that Queen Latifah's in this movie if she only has one line in it or whatever, whoever it is. Anyway, Jenna, is there anything else before actually we dive deeper into this movie that you want to talk about or catch us up on, catch listeners
up
on?
Yes. Okay, so I actually wanted to ask you this because in light of Valentine's Day coming up, I wanted to ask you if you know what your toxic traits are, because I did both of mine on the way here this morning.
Okay, wait, tell me.
Okay, so one of my main toxic traits.
Did both of them.
I did both of them on the way, and I was like, I have to tell Danny. I have to come clean. I paint my nails before I have to go do stuff. Like I paint them and then I have to walk my dog and pour coffee and then come drive.
Makes you late.
Yeah. And I mess them up. I smudge the nail polish so I can fix them later.
What is it about the nails? Why do you do it at the last possible second?
So I'm like, oh, I have to leave in like 45 minutes. I need to touch up my nails. And then I do it, but I have to walk my dog. And that's a very involved finger activity. You know,
do you use those, like, don't they have dryer things for your fingers?
I should buy one.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, they, I think they do, like at the salon.
That's what I'm gonna get you for your next gift. But also I feel like I've known you for over a decade now and I don't remember you being especially late. Is this only happen with like men that you're on dates with?
Oh no, it does, never makes me late. I just mess them up.
Oh,
I'm okay. On time. Oh, okay. But I just jack up my nails.
Okay. Okay. And then see, I never noticed them looking terrible either.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Okay, yeah, good.
They look good. And they're always have a nice coloring and shine on them.
Oh, thank you. Okay, good.
Okay, wait. So has any men complained about that?
Never. Okay. I don't even think they notice.
Yeah, they don't.
It's more for me.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
more women. Women always notice my nails.
Yeah, sure.
And then my other toxic trait is I cannot, have not ever owned a tumbler that the lid stays on.
Oh, like a coffee tumbler?
Yeah, like a coffee tumbler. Like even today, I put one in my purse and I have paper checks in there because I still get those. And it spilled on the car on the way here. And I was like, I need to find a tumbler. Yeah. I'm almost 40. I've never found one.
You need to do like one of those isn't Stanley cups or something? I know people kids love the Stanley cups right now.
But does the lid stay on?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, Jenna. I don't know. I'm not a to-go. I love a to-go coffee, but I'm so like specific with my coffee routine that I have my two cups in the morning and then that's it. Mm-hmm. And then I don't normally go places with it.
With a coffee.
Yeah. I always try to have it before I leave the house.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So those are your worst toxic traits with relationships?
Or no, just in general.
Oh, just in general.
Just me showing up as a woman in the world.
Oh yeah,
that's
sure.
I just can't.
Well, you're doing it really well.
I don't know why the lids. Oh, thank you.
You know what? You're doing it really well. You're doing a great job. Here I was thinking, I'm like, well, I'm a pushover and I like...
gaslight.
You're like, my nails are sometimes blurry.
Jacked up. Yeah. Do you have any of those?
No, like, I think I do. I mentioned pushover. I think I'm definitely a pushover. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that I've been trying to be better communicator in general. Like I'm always trying to do that and be honest about how I feel. But the thing that I've been noticing, I was just thinking about this last night, actually, and I didn't know we were going to even talk about this, but I noticed that I try to communicate, but I don't think I'm good at it because sometimes I'll say to some, whether it be a friend or a partner or something, I'll be like, I'm kind of underwater right now, or I'm like struggling a bit to keep up with things or whatever. But I feel like I say it in like not in a strong enough way. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like people don't realize that I'm being honest or something. Does that make sense? Where it's like
that there's a levity, there's a gravity to it.
Yeah.
Like I'm literally underwater right now.
And with you, like you're a very close friend. So it's like, I feel like, you understand when it, but
sometimes I'm like, I can't leave my bed. That kind of thing.
Sometimes when it comes to other people, though, I'm like, I feel like I'm saying it, but nobody's listening.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, well, if you can get that over to us, I'm like, no, I can't get it over to you.
With work I'm really stuff, stressed. I mean, every time I feel like somebody's asking me for something, and I'm like, I'm just really, I can't do another thing right now. Yeah. Or even sometimes people with podcasting, because I'm in this world, I have my other podcast, Everything Iconic, and I get a lot of wonderful requests, and I'm so grateful to come on other people's shows. But sometimes I'll say like, I'm just, I'm underwater. I can't do it. My schedule's busy. And then I feel like people get mad at me or I've had people maybe not be confrontational about that, but kind of butt up against me with that. And I'm like, I'm trying to be honest with people, but then it becomes hard.
Because no means no. Like you would do it if you could, but I've seen your schedule. It's extremely demanding.
And I try so hard to always say yes. You know, I'm a yes person in general, especially if somebody asks me to do something, I'll be like, yeah, okay, of course, figure it out.
Will.
But I was thinking last night, I'm like, why aren't people, because I had a work situation, it was a social media thing, and I was saying like, I just can't take it on right now, and it's like, I don't feel like anyone's listening to me.
Yeah, because you also, you're right, like prioritize your health, like you need to get to do your fitness, you need to be able to sleep, you need to, you know, there's a lot of
things.
I'm
not doing those things, I'm just a nutball.
Totally,
I'm nutball.
Same.
But even with Matt too, it's like, in relationships, sometimes I'll say, like, for instance, on Wednesdays are like a crazy day for me. Like, I try to turn my phone on, do not disturb. Like, I tell Matt, I'm like, just kind of like, don't bother me. You know, like, just leave me alone. Because I know that I'll snap. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to snap at anyone. Mm-hmm. But so I'll say like, you know, just kind of like ignore me at night on Wednesday because I'm in the middle of editing my show. Like, I'm doing stuff. And it's like, just pretend I'm not even here.
Yeah.
So that I don't snap. But then sometimes it's like, I love him. I feel like I'm just complaining.
I love him too.
But so then when he will kind of like ask me to for something, to do something or whatever, then I feel like I snap. And then I think in my head, well, I tried to be as honest and upfront about it. Like, I tried to say, it's probably best to just leave me alone this day.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough because you have a home office. So it's different. Let's put a
this
lock
is
on
like
the
therapy
door.
Session.
Let's put a lock. I know, right? Seriously.
Why is, we're like here to talk about Ashton Kutcher. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. I feel like I'm talking to you like my therapist.
No, but you know what you mean, like a do not disturb in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the do not disturb on my phone. Like I put that on all the time because also I feel less pressure than to respond back right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I'll get to it when I can get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I feel like but that's a me problem. I'm thinking like, noticing it happening more and more. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just not being clear enough.
Yeah. Cause you're right. It's, cause you don't want to snap. That's so funny. I talked to my therapist about this yesterday, did an emergency session. Cause I don't think I have
none of these are
anger.
Themes in this movie. Yeah, by the way. No,
like, I don't ever express anger and it is buried deep within. And so it comes out like lately the triggers. Cause I just have the time now, but I was like, oh, I never express anger. I'm not that
Jenna,
person.
I've known you forever. And I don't know that I've ever seen you confrontational.
Totally.
Ever.
Even when I have every right to be,
yeah.
You know, especially in like personal relationships where I'm like, I should have lost my mind on that person. And I didn't. I was like, okay, I'm fine.
We both need to like just.
This is our year of
this
rage.
This is our year. Yeah. And you know what? We were talking on we went on a hike last week or whatever. And there's this whole thing about astrology with January 20th, where it was
Aquarius.
Like something like everything was changing on the 20th. So I don't know the specific details, but we just kept saying, I was like, once we hit the 20th. So we're past the 20th of January now. So the rest of the year we're in.
Mm-hmm. We're losing it.
We're losing it.
And so people can, because like that's
people need to back the fuck up.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You are not walking all over us.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted what you were saying.
No, that's true. Like, I like that. Let's try it. Because we also, I mean, we met doing improv where they just hammer it into your brain that you have to say yes all the time. But I'm like, no, let's do no.
Yeah. No, it's the year of no.
It's the year of no and the year of like back the fuck off.
Yeah, you have to have boundaries and you just have, and also we have to do things that we want to do instead of like just pleasing everybody else.
Yeah.
People pleasing. That's another
people
thing.
People pleasing. Yeah.
I think we're both kind of people pleasers,
totally.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I love this for us.
I know.
Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah. Right?
I know. We should talk about Valentine's Day. Okay, wait, so Valentine's Day in general, do you like the holiday? How do you feel about the holiday?
Because
we haven't really talked about this holiday in general.
Yeah, the holiday in general. I mean,
I'm sure everyone already turned off this podcast because
I've had different experiences over the years, whether I'm in a relationship or not. It's kind of a mixed bag, to be honest. Yeah. If I'm in a relationship, I really like just staying home and, you know, chilling. I don't really go out. What about you? How do you feel?
Yeah,
about
I'm
it?
Not a big, I don't like to do a dinner thing.
No.
Yeah, make a good dinner at home or go get a good dinner, but I don't want to be at, in this movie, there was that scene where, I think it was Anne Hathaway's character, where they go to that dinner on Valentine's night and it's like everyone's so crowded
family
and pushed
style.
Together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a nightmare to me. Like, I've done that before and I don't even want to go to a restaurant on Valentine's Day. No. It's miserable. The food's always worse. The service is unfortunately worse because they're so busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not interested.
You're going to witness a botched proposal. Like, No thanks. Yeah.
I do often make Matt go to the movies on Valentine's Day and it's or around there because there's always like one bad rom-com playing and I can force him to see it with me.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, just kidding. No.
Wait, I know.
This one. No, it's good.
This one is so bad.
No, this one wasn't like super bad. It's just so. It's so it's, of the 2010.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think I did see it in theaters. I was trying to remember, like, I know I saw New Year's Eve in theaters, and I told the story on the New Year's Eve podcast, but, like, my friend Michael and I, we always laugh because the screenwriter's name is Catherine Fagott, and we say she forgot to write a script. And Catherine Fagott also wrote Valentine's Day.
She
forgot to write a proper through line for the script because, it is just, like, a collection of these stories, which I love, but it is just, like, there's like a very light through line with these people. And maybe they should have scaled back to give like a little more oomph to every story.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go through. I want us to go through like sort of every.
Notes.
But did we talk about all the Valentine's Day stuff? Like just sort of general catching people up? Because I was like thinking people haven't heard from us in a while.
Yeah. I think it's a fine holiday. It's going to be a Wednesday this year. is that convincing? It's going to be a fine holiday.
I was like just scrolling through my head. I was like, so what has happened this month that I could fill in listeners? And I was like, nothing. And you're like, well, it's Valentine's is a Wednesday. And it's like, we have nothing interesting going on.
Should I just say it?
What?
I thought I got dumped on Christmas Eve.
Oh my God.
But our beloved fans. Yeah, I got dumped on Christmas Eve. So I'm writing a movie called Dumped for Christmas. But since
you really
then,
went through it. This holiday.
I really went through it.
We don't have to get into every detail, but it was like
don't.
It was a comically rough
It was like a bad rom-com. But then I told you this also, which this might actually inform my Valentine's Day this year. I was doing research for a new Hallmark movie and I had to interview a fireman there's something happening. There's a room.
There's a fire.
We have a date later today.
There's a flame.
Yeah, there's a flame. There's a flame. So I met a fireman. So I think I'm going to be fine this Valentine's Day. You'll be fine. But I got dumped on Christmas.
Yeah, it was a rough. You had a rough.
It was rough.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But what are you and Matt doing?
No, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know. I don't know. My parents are coming here this weekend. We're recording this beginning of February, or end of January, but my parents are coming for a day. So I'm going to see them briefly. And then my dad's 70th. Wow. That is so weird. His 70th, is coming up this year. So we're, I think, going to do a big party in February, but I don't know exactly when yet. So we're trying to figure all that out.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Okay. So the firemen, though, I have a thing for firemen, and I texted you because I saw this movie Ladder 49, which is also not what this podcast is supposed to be about, but I saw it in theaters when it came out. I was in college and speaking of my parents, they had like come to visit me in college or something. And the only thing that was playing was Ladder 49 that we would all like. And so we went and saw it, and I don't even think there were like any specific hot guys, but I remember that was when I like started to have a thing for firemen.
Yeah.
And I think that's like a very typical thing to get rescued by a hot firefighter.
Oh, 1,000%. He let me do a ride along. At the station, I interviewed him for the movie, and he was like helping me out with all this stuff. And then he was like, "Do you want to go on a ride along?" And I like came. I was like, "Yes!"
You're like Samantha in that episode of Sex and the City. Yes! Do you remember when she starts fucking the fireman? Yes, and it's like so that everyone comes in when she's got half the thing on, and they had to like re-edit that episode. This is strange that I noticed, but they re-edited that for like TBS and E, because I don't know if you ever watched Sex and the City on like E. They have to pretty much edit out all of Samantha's storylines. Like she's very much like a guest star on that show on E. Mm-hmm. But they did like a CGI for her for that episode, because in the original cut, I think she doesn't put on anything except maybe I don't know. Yeah. They CGI'd over her in that scene.
Okay.
So anyway.
That's hilarious. That's totally gonna be me.
Yeah. So I do have a firefighter fantasy.
Yes.
Speaking of guys, though, okay, Valentine's Day. Who do you think is who do you think is the hottest guy
in this movie? Film?
Because we have Bradley Cooper, we have Eric Dane, Patrick Dempsey, Hector Elizondo, Jamie Foxx, Topher Grace,
George Lopez,
Ashton, George Lopez.
No, I think Eric Dane.
Can you tell me this?
Oh yeah, I saw George Lopez on Raya, the dating app.
So he's
I don't know if he's
married.
Still there. This is like a while ago.
Okay,
so he might have hooked up by then. But
interesting.
I know.
Would you date George Lopez?
I'd go on a date with him, yeah.
Yeah. I used to watch his show. It was produced by Sandra Bullock, and I remember I liked it when I was a kid.
Yeah, he's cute.
Okay, so he's your pick out of...
What about you? Yeah, I would be Eric Dane.
I like Eric Dane. I think he, to me, is the hottest.
So hot.
Oh my God, I find that man so attractive.
When he came on screen, I gasped. I was like, jeez.
I was on another show recently, and I was talking about Grey's Anatomy. Like, do you remember his entrance? You never watched Grey's Anatomy.
No.
His entrance on that show, he was not a big famous actor or anything, and like they brought him on the show, and his entrance as a character was like coming out of the shower, and it was all steamy, and he's putting on a towel, so you see like a lot of leg, and this was ABC, so it's not like you see much, but you see like leg and him putting on a towel, and everyone knew this character. The other characters had talked about this character, but we hadn't met the character yet. And so Kate Walsh was sitting in a hotel room, and we see Eric Dane from behind her come out of the shower in steam, and then his nickname was McSteamy. But it was like such a pivotal moment, and I think so many people watching it were like, holy shit, who's this guy? Like, so into him. And then he became a big deal. And now in Valentine's, there's sort of this Grey's Anatomy reunion because Patrick Dempsey's in it as well.
Yeah.
But there's so much weirdness with that character and that pairing, because in Valentine's Day, he has a relationship with Bradley Cooper's character.
Yes.
But we don't find out until the very end.
Ugh,
and they don't even...
I know. I was like,
they don't
kiss.
Even kiss.
Please kiss. Also, another reunion is Hector Elizondo and Anne Hathaway. Princess Diaries.
Yeah. And Hector and Julia from Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Hector Elizondo is like Gary Marshall's good luck charm. So he's always in them, right?
Yeah, he's in every single thing he does.
I like that. But I did the Eric Dane and Bradley Cooper relationship really pissed me off, because they, it just felt like such a cop out to like bring some gay storyline to this film. But then at the end, when they're finally reunited and it's this big reveal, they just sort of like caress each other's shoulders, and I'm like, come on, you guys,
go
like,
to dinner.
I'm sorry, you would at least kiss your significant other after a plane ride. Like, it doesn't, I'm not saying you gotta tongue each other,
but give us something.
I know. And there's always been this argument about like straight actors playing gay roles, and people feel differently about it. But I think where that issue stems from is because so often from Valentine's Day and every year before, it was like we would get these straight guys who get applauded, awarded, and everything for playing a gay role. But then there's like, it's so unrealistic to gay people because we're looking at, it's like, there's no intimacy there.
Yeah.
So I know this is like a broader version of that. Like, obviously, this is a romantic comedy or whatever, but still, even like not even having just that little connection between the two.
Mm-hmm. Like the call me by your name or the like,
yeah, I don't need to see them sucking each other's D's.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love it.
I would it. Yeah. But you're right. Like, there should be some affection.
Just like some.
Yeah.
Some.
Yeah. Anyway, definitely.
So that's how you feel about that coupling.
Yeah.
So I'm pissed at them, but they're hot.
Okay. I have a weird note. So starting from the very beginning, you know, like the opening credits, because they're in Santa Monica, or in, this is LA story.
Yeah.
Where was New Year's Eve was New York.
New York.
Right? So this is an LA story. I moved to Santa Monica from New York, and at the start of this movie, in like the B-roll of that sand tractor on the beach, when I first moved to Santa Monica, it ran over a woman as she was suntanning. So for like years living on the beach, I never would lay on the sand because those tractors in the morning ran over a woman.
Did no one see her?
Or they didn't.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they're just like, dirt. Like, they go out every single morning in Santa Monica and Venice and like, whatever. What's the word? Smooth the sand? And a fucking tractor, and they ran over her.
That's my worst nightmare.
I know.
She was just asleep on the beach or something?
Yeah, I think she was just like sleeping, like suntanning. And I was like, okay, never doing that.
I've always had a fear of like lawnmowers, like just being in the grass, and then a lawnmower comes in, or a big riding lawnmower.
Valid
comes
fear.
And gets you. Yeah, I think that's scary.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm glad that didn't happen in this movie. It would have been different film.
So different.
Would have been different film. Yeah. We talked about Julia Roberts. Yeah. Should we go into Jules?
Let's start with Jules.
Let's talk with Jules. Mm-hmm. So Julia Roberts' pay is what I would like to discuss because
in this movie,
yeah,
is it crazy?
No, she got $3 million to do this movie plus
in like one day.
Plus back end, Jenna.
No.
She filmed like 2 hours or something. So she ended up making, according to IMDb, we don't completely fact check here, but according to IMDb says that she made $10 million for this movie and she only filmed one day. And I think I texted you this. I don't even know that she was on a set. I think she said, you can film me while I'm traveling from New York to LA.
That's right.
Put me on a plane. I'm going to be on a plane this day. Like, I'll do the movie then.
And they did it like real.
They did it in real time on an airplane, I feel. I don't know that to be true, but I feel that in my soul. And so she made $10 million just to fly from LA to New York
in
an afternoon. That's what I'm taking from this, which is crazy.
And get hit on by Bradley Cooper the whole time.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
I know. Isn't that wild, though?
Yeah.
Could you imagine getting $10 million for a day's work?
Oh, I would love it.
That would be the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be our 2024 also. We're going to start yelling at people. We're going to say no.
And we're making $10 million.
And we're making $10 million. Yeah. What was so disturbing in that scene was that Bradley Cooper tried to shut her window shade and he had his shoes off. What? Remember that when like she was asleep?
I didn't notice that.
Oh yeah. She was asleep on his shoulder. And so he like reached his foot up to try to shut the window shade and he had socks on. No. I was like, no,
sir. Shoes on a plane.
Thank
people
you.
Need to fucking stop.
Yeah. That's a straight guy move.
It's so disgusting.
Right? That's a straight guy move.
Keep
that's
your hooves in the shoes.
Yeah.
It's like, who thinks that people want to see their foot? I mean, at least he was wearing socks, according to you.
True.
But still, no one wants to see your foot out.
No.
And your feet smell after you're walking through an airport. I don't care if you're sockless or shoeless or what. You keep it all on your feet. You keep them covered.
Especially, what if you have a plane crash and you can't find your shoes?
No. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
I do put my feet up, though. I like when I'm sitting at the front of where you could put your feet on.
Oh, on the wall.
On the wall.
Yeah.
And
I
do put my feet up on the wall, like pretty heavily. And I'm very tall. I have long legs. So I feel like my legs just go all the way up the wall. And it looks really trashy when I'm on a plane, but I do it anyway.
But it's probably comfy and it helps blood flow.
Yeah. No, it does. And I wear those socks for the blood flow too.
Oh, you do the compression ones.
I do the compression ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
But I'm happy for Jules, but she didn't really add much of anything to it other than it was exciting to see her.
Totally. Because I didn't so much believe her as an army captain, but also at the end, the reveal is that she's going home to her son. The whole time Bradley Cooper's wow, lucky guy, you know, and it's the kid who's obsessed with Jennifer Garner. And I was like, because anyone in the, like, she could have easily been like, I have a son.
This movie sounds crazy just from that sentence.
her child's
obsessed. If somebody didn't know what this was and they just heard that last sentence you said, they'd be like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah, totally. I saw it coming. So I was like, this is going to be creepy. But yeah, I thought it would just be normal for her to be like, I have a child, but she doesn't reveal anything about herself, but maybe that's her army training.
I would, maybe. Yeah,
covert
op. You mentioned not buying her as an army person. And I do feel like with all of these movies, I'd love to talk to a casting director because I feel like they're just casting for name, right? So they're not trying to fit anyone with a role. It's just like, oh, we can get Julie Roberts for 3 minutes. Like, I guess she'll play this army captain.
Do you know what it is? It's a really specific detail. And I just realized it kind of fits the movie. When I was power tindering back in the day, I met a guy who had a beach house in Venice Beach, like right where this takes place. And I went over and we like ordered Thai food and we're chilling and he put on John Wick. And so remember when Julia first wakes up, it's because the drink cart goes by. She peacefully opens her eyes and is like, you know, this man I was on a date with fell asleep. He took a nap
during John Wick.
During John Wick, this motherfucker takes a nap. He wakes, then there's gunfire on screen. He screams and like backhands me in the chest. I'm dead. Like he had PTSD. Like PTSD?
Yeah. Oh, oh my God.
And I was like, oh, okay, we can like watch something else, you know, because John Wick just came on, you know, we're chilling. But I was like, oh, that's how you wake up when you're in the army. And so when I saw Julia on screen in fatigues, peacefully rising from her slumber, I was like, no, I don't buy it. God. She should have judo chopped him.
So interesting.
Isn't that funny? I should have told Gary Marshall. Someone should have told him. I mean, like, Gary, that's not how veterans wake up.
The truth is, I don't know that Gary would have cared.
But it would have been a choice for Julia.
I don't think that he would have changed anything.
That would have been.
But Jules should have known that.
She should have known that. She should have been like, how would I wake up if a drink cart goes by?
Yeah.
You know, isn't that weird?
Matt was in the military, and I see that side of him come out all the time. And it's so funny to me because he'll like sometimes. I mean, he looks out the window. He's like so aware of everything. Like he's aware of his spatial awareness. And I'm just so oblivious sometimes. Like somebody could be like literally in my house robbing me. And I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I'm not even seeing him. Like I'm in my own world.
Totally.
And, but he's like, oh, there's someone 3 blocks away. And like they're coming this way. And I noticed their car move. And he's like, knows everything.
I love
like,
that.
You do not fuck with this house. Because he's just always, even at night, the one time I saw him, he was like upstairs at night. I was like asleep. I think it was like a small earthquake, but then he's like looking out the window and I'm like, oh my God. But so it is a different, when you're trained something like that, especially in a pivotal age.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. She would have had a more aggressive response.
Make a character choice in the 4 hours you're shooting, you know? So that to me, I was like, I don't buy it.
She probably didn't even know they were shooting. She was just on that airplane. Yeah. She thought it was just the beverage cart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She took a nap and they kept filming.
Yeah. I love that the haughty flight attendant was like fully hitting on Bradley also. Have you ever hooked up with a flight attendant?
No, but I did have this very aggressive, like, I was upgraded to first class. This was probably in my 20s, probably 10. It was before Matt and I, or maybe when we were on a break. I don't know. It was like some point when Matt and I weren't together.
You were totally single. For the record.
I actually really do believe it was like right before we got together. Yeah. But anyway, I was upgraded to first class and I'm sitting next to this guy that was like my age, the most gorgeous man ever, right? And first class, they give you free alcohol. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like chatty, but he was like quote unquote straight. But I was like getting a vibe from him this whole time. Mm-hmm. And he was like, let's start drinking. And so we were like boozing and became like best of friends.
Yes.
And I'm thinking like, oh, we're in love. Like that was our meet cute. Like I was like, this is it. Even though he said he was straight, I was like getting a very aggressive. Totally. And he like told me this one story about a situation with a guy once that happened. And so I was like, oh my God, like flirting with, he's like, he wants it.
He's
like in. It's happening.
Yes. D's down.
But then it didn't happen. And I remember getting to baggage claim just like more blacked out than ever because I was just like I thought in my head, like, this is a meet cute. And then nothing happened from it. We became friends and I haven't seen him we never saw each other again. We became friends on like social media or whatever.
Yeah.
But we had the best time and I thought for sure we were in love.
Yeah.
And he was so hot, Jenna.
I'm sure you were. Have you checked his social? Is he out?
No. I mean, we like had. After that, we had like messaged and said we were going to grab drinks or something, but we lived in different worlds. It was like he was this straight guy who was just
back on land. It's harder.
Yeah.
That's fun though. But
it was like a really, I'll never forget that. It was like a weird, because it was Ohio to California. So it was like one of those long flights.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just boozed the whole time and he was so beautiful. He was like a model, a working model. I remember him showing me like runway stuff.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, we're in love. But it didn't happen. Anyway, how about you?
I did one guy, like a flight attendant for Virgin America. He openly hit on me and got my number during the flight.
And Virgin, I would imagine, has hot guys, right?
So hot. Yeah. From NorCal. So we went on a couple dates.
How did you know Because I've never had that with a flight attendant. Like, or how do you know? How did you know that he was into it? He just came and brought you the number?
Yeah, because I was the only one laughing at their safety video.
Oh.
Because it's hilarious. Would, yeah. Yeah, I was like, this is the funniest safety video I've ever seen. And so then he would like bring me, then I think he brought me a drink and then we're chit chatting and he would just stand in the aisle and talk to me. And so the people around were like, this is happening. And yeah. So then at the, right before we landed, he was like, here's my number, you know? And I was like, God. Oh my God, like in front of people, I was so embarrassed though. But then I texted him and then he came over. You know, because he had the layover.
And then did he come over?
Yes.
Okay.
I know. Yeah.
That was inappropriate.
Yeah. So he's on the roster. Yeah.
This holiday movie podcast. Oh. I can't believe I just asked you that. I'm sorry.
I love this.
We do mark it as explicit.
Yeah. Okay. Back to Valentine's
yeah.
Day.
Okay.
Okay. So what? Let's unpack Ashton Kutcher.
Please.
Can we?
Yeah. In general or in this movie? Because I'm down for either.
Both. I used to live across the street from that, his Canals house. It's awesome. Yeah, but I lived there like 5 years after
this movie.
I saw their
house on, maybe it was AD or somewhere, yeah. And it looked really pretty.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's gorgeous. It's right
on the
Canals.
They had some scandal, which we don't have to get into, but I think they did have, didn't him and Mila have like a big scandal or something last a few months ago? I think they did. I don't remember the details, okay. So I don't even think we should get into it. But
yeah.
I think everyone hates them now.
Oh, they do? Okay, are they canceled?
I think they are.
Well,
I hope I'm not
crazy.
Making that up, but I do think they had some sort of cancellation situation.
Something. Oh, yeah. Maybe about the...
You know, I had interviewed Mila Kunis once and I turned on her because we just had exactly opposite housewife takes.
Oh, that's funny.
So it was like, we just like the exact opposite. And I was like, oh my God, okay.
You're like, no.
Yeah, so yeah. I turned on her. Which, meanwhile, that was an interview I did with also Juliette Lewis was on it.
Oh, I love her.
It was like the three of us on a Zoom, which they don't really
do
that often.
I remember when you did that. I remember.
But it was so funny to me because... It's just so I felt like I had a lot of tension with Mila Kunis and Juliette Lewis was just like on the Zoom like I don't watch these shows.
She's so me. Yeah. I don't watch these shows.
What is her. Life? Okay, sorry.
Okay, so the most unrealistic thing to me in this is that Ashton lives on the Venice Canals by the one block from the ocean. He works at a flower market downtown. Like no one who lives like you, yeah. The commute. I was. It's so Californian sketch, but I was watching. I was like, "There's no way."
Yeah, he couldn't make.
He would have made it in that fast. Like, yes, the Flower District is downtown, but then he has a shop. I looked up the shop because they have the address. It's in Inglewood, and I'm like, "There's no way."
And I recognize that shop.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways,
all
like,
over town.
Yeah.
Well, none of the time and space in this show makes sense because it all takes place over the course of a day, and it's completely batshit crazy to think. Yeah. Okay. This Valentine's Day, Ashton Kutcher wakes up, proposes to Jessica Alba.
Out of nowhere.
Who, by the way, again, because of the casting, nobody has chemistry. Not a single...
I say out of nowhere as if I know them. Yeah. No, but you're right, there's no chemistry.
None of them.
Her hair is crazy.
She's just asleep and he wakes up and he goes, will you marry me? And she says yes. So we're led to believe that. But by the end of the day, we're still in what... This takes place over the course of less
one
than...
One day.
I guess 12 hours, right?
Yeah.
It's only 12 hours. So at the end of 12 hours, Ashton has a new love interest, Jennifer Garner.
Back on the Canals.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It would be weird if he was just in a relationship with Jessica Alba at the beginning, but the fact that he proposes, has a ring, like, that's a serious relationship. And then we're supposed to believe that, oh, he just now is over
backup
it.
Girl.
8 hours later.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just into Jennifer Garner now.
It's weird.
Jennifer Garner's a beautiful gal, but I don't know that would happen.
She is. I can't. Oh, that devastated me. The Patrick Dempsey storyline.
Oh, yeah.
When he has a family, I was like, no.
I know.
I was genuinely sad.
I think Patrick looks better now in present day than he did in this movie.
Totally.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
He was just sexiest man alive last year. But Jennifer Garner, her very first scene when she's, I think her scene is with him, that very first scene. And they sort of like show a flash of her underbutt.
You see her
butt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, I saw it.
Why did they, that was weird, right?
Yeah. She like tucks her like little nightgown up and you see half of her butt.
Yeah. I guess Geary Marshall did this, but this is a movie for women and gay men. Like, who is saying, oh, I want to see her underbutt?
Yeah. Also, I looked it up. This was exactly the middle of her marriage to Ben Affleck. They were together 2005, 2015.
I wonder if they tried to get him.
Oh, yeah. Cameo.
They probably tried to get him a cameo.
Yeah.
I discuss Jessica Biel. I know we're jumping all over the place, but so does this fucking movie. So it's not our fault. Jessica Biel, to me, is the most beautiful person with zero personality.
Yes.
In general.
Or charisma or charm or...
What is that?
Yeah.
She's stunning.
So fit. Yeah. And
she's
super
stunning.
Fit. Yeah.
Beautiful face.
But
her eyes, everything. I was like looking at her. I'm like, God, she's hot.
Jessica Rabbit. Yeah.
But I don't even get like a fun flirty or a fun, likes weird shit or nerdy or I don't know, any sort
anything.
Of
anything. No.
It all feels so generic to me. And even I, on social media, because I was researching people in this film while I was watching, I went to Jessica Alba or Jessica Biel's, one of her pages, Instagram, I don't remember where it was, Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And she posts a lot of these videos where she's like trying to have personality, but like they all fall flat to me.
Yeah.
In this movie too, I was like, she's delivering these like rom-commy lines, but I'm not getting any sort of uniqueness from her.
Yeah. I think that's why, because God didn't give her personality because she'd be too powerful.
She would be too powerful.
Because like if you look like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You can't be like the coolest person in the room.
Right.
It'd be unfair.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you, I
think.
What do you think of her and JT? Do you think they'll make it?
Oh, I wonder. That's also some more scandal.
I hate to say that on a public forum, but I'm sure that they won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, God bless. I hope that they do. But
yeah,
there's been a lot of ish. Didn't he like cheat or had some photos taken where he was on some.
Yeah.
And then also
he's been through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the B. Spears stuff.
I do like his new song, Selfish. I'm not proud of that. Okay. Moving on.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica Biel, no personality.
Yeah. Unrealistic. Also, Emma Roberts. That's another reunion. Emma and Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like she's Emma a nanny. Roberts.
Oh, me too.
I like Emma Roberts, though, when she's playing just a complete asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want her to be a complete dick.
Because she can do it.
She's, like, so good at that.
Regina George-ish.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Also, more unrealistic parts of this movie is that she picks up someone else. So she's a nanny. Mm-hmm. And she picks up the child who's in love with Jennifer Garner from school. And so here's the thing about school in LA. There's no world where teenager in a convertible pulls up and the kid just runs to the car. There's like a carpool lane.
Right, right.
There's a sign-in sheet. There's security. There's no car seat in the car. The kid's in the front. I was like, this is the most not LA nanny pickup. And I know because I was a celeb nanny.
All of the school stuff was a little wonky to me.
Yes.
It was like, when are we?
Ashton's just walking into the school.
In and out of school all the time. Like, yeah. Certainly not today.
Totally.
We're in and out of school. I'm like, oh, and then we're following the kid because Emma Roberts wants to fuck this other kid.
Yeah. Openly.
Openly.
Oh yeah. She's in high school. Yeah.
And that was so strange to me because, okay, this guy that they're going to have sex on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. That's what they decide. Mm-hmm. So the guy like leaves school to go to the house, Emma Roberts' house, and then takes off all his clothes, puts on the guitar and is like ready to have sex. And then the mom comes home unexpectedly. But that was also wonky because I'm like, well, first of all, it's weird that they're just cutting school to go there. But then the mom just randomly coming home at work to catch him. But then the mom is like shocked, but then it's just like leave. But then there's nothing else. And I just thought like, if I'm a mother and I come home and there's like a naked teen boy in my house, I'm going to have a little more of a reaction or issue or something, then that woman is just like, get out. And then they laugh about it. And then it's explained by Emma Roberts. So then coincidentally, she's just happens to be about getting home. And so then the guy runs naked into her car and like gets in the side of the car. And
well, there was just a child in that car.
And so she says something like, what did you tell my mom? And he's like, oh, I just said I was rehearsing. And
crazy.
And she's like, did my mom buy that? And he's like, I don't know. I think so or something. And I'm like, what?
What? What?
Why would any person believe that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wackadoo. It's also wackadoo.
It was a wacky thing. Oh, also so Patrick Dempsey's married, but he's like a traveling doctor, apparently, between LA and San Francisco, which also was weird.
Do you think he had a problem playing a doctor again? Because he was on Grey's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I wonder if he tried to get him to change it or something.
Yeah.
I feel like he probably did.
Yeah. But in this one, he just does womanizing. But but also when Jennifer Garner, so she's like gets on the plane and is going to go to the hospital and like, I don't know, show up and be like, let's go to dinner, which I think is a bizarre plan.
And
anyways.
Wait, I'm going to stop you right here.
Yeah.
Jennifer Garner going to the airport, just like casually deciding during the day to go to LAX is also crazy. Like
crazy.
You have to be like completely unhinged to
unrealistic. Just
quickly go to LAX. Like is LAX is the biggest nightmare.
So school's done at 3. That's rush hour.
You're leaving at 3 o'clock.
No.
And it was light outside too.
Where
so
you are.
There's no way she would have made it there and it's still light outside.
Never.
After post school.
Thank you.
No way.
These are
no
details.
Way. These
Gary
are
Marshall,
details. The
you
traffic
need to
at
fact
that
check.
Time. To get to LAX, from where do you think she was coming? Where was that school?
Like West LA, even if it was Brentwood.
It doesn't even fucking matter.
No.
To get to LAX is a nightmare.
No, the valley, the way that they don't have a carpool, it's the deep valley.
And then to have to park at LAX and make it, because we saw the character going into the airport, so she would have had to park the car somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they had Uber at this time. Did they?
No.
Even if she took a cab, though, she would have gotten like.
They don't, and I know why.
Why?
Because I was banging one of the guys who started Uber at the time. 2011. Oh my God, that's so funny.
This was 2010.
Yeah, it was before it was launched, yeah.
Okay,
so Uber didn't exist. I just said that on the air.
Did you see that Uber? You've said a lot on the air that you probably shouldn't have. But so that was 2011.
Yeah.
So, okay, she would have had to park. And then to get into that place, Jenna, we have to take a quick break here. I want to thank Acast. I also want to let you know that you can get everything Iconic merch, as well as we also have a Very Merry Iconic podcast merch available at everythingiconic.store. Everythingiconic.store, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is a tale for another time, but we have to like re-examine airport rules. And yes. I'm sorry to get too deep politically, but we have to re-examine everything that came post 9/11. I'm understanding why things happen, but what are we doing?
What
now?
Are we doing?
Like, I'm
it's
so,
so
confused
uncool.
Now with the shoes, still doing yes. the shoes. And I just feel like this is crazy.
The gels. Yeah, it's so uncool. They make it very unsavory to try to travel. Like, and it doesn't have to be this shitty.
I just feel like we should update things.
Thank
like,
you. I agree.
Maybe we don't need the 8-ounce rule anymore.
No, it's
maybe
been a long
do,
time.
But maybe
also.
We should all re-examine all of this stuff. Because also yeah. then I'm... there's other things in this world that have no rules that should have rules. Mm-hmm. And then this airplanes, I'm like thinking maybe we should just refocus on it and just say, agreed. Well, does it make sense that we take off our shoes? Because shouldn't,
no.
Or, yeah. or is there a technology that we don't have to take off the shoes?
Yeah.
Or come on, it's something.
There
something.
Should be something. Yeah.
It's like wild.
Like a low scan, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. It also depresses me because like we can't have those big moments in rom-coms where like in Love Actually where the kid runs yeah. through the airport and then meets the person at the gate. Like I hate mm-hmm. that we can't have those moments yeah. because of these rules that I don't even know if they do make sense.
Anymore. Yeah.
Maybe they do, but I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. Because Ashton Kutcher has to convince the dad from 10 Things I Hate About You to
there's
let him
so
through.
Fucking people.
Right? Who's also, I think, one of Gary Marshall's faves.
Okay.
So he has to convince him to let him through. And he's like, it's the one I love. And this guy's just... okay. I don't know. Yeah, it was just...
none of that makes sense.
But then she actually gets on the plane. He could have yelled, he's married at any point, you know, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's trying to save her feelings, but lets her get on the plane.
Ashton, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even Ashton when he goes when he's in the classroom, it's the same way. It's like, just shout it out.
Just say it. He's married. But
if you're with someone, Jenna, by the way, if you're with someone and I know that they're cheating, I'm just going to be like, yeah, he's cheating with this person.
That's the first thing you would say to me.
I'll text you or something.
Not like, hey, don't you want to just see me later? You know? Yeah. You text me.
I'm not playing games. I'll just text you and be like, this guy's a dirtball.
Yeah,
here's
exactly.
a picture.
Thank you.
I just text you.
Because you're a true friend.
But you just get it out of the way. Like, what do you... what's he going, I don't know if I should tell you that. I know you're in the middle of class. It's like, well, it doesn't fucking matter that she's in the middle of class.
Right up on the whiteboard.
Coming and going from this school like willy-nilly. The kids are just running to the football field and going home to have sex. And
this
everything.
Is an unsafe
this
school.
School is not.
This elementary
no
school,
there.
The kid can just go to the flower shop and then the florist can show up in the same class. I'm not cool with it.
Oh,
but
my
also
God.
When, so Jennifer Garner also flies up to this hospital, by the way, goes in. And again, there's rules about hospitals. And then she asks the nurses, woman to woman, if he's married.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I'm like, first of all, no, there are privacy laws. There's no way. And then that older nurse is like,
HIPAA.
Exactly. There's HIPAA. She's like, Bistro Garden, early seating. First of all, why would you know
why
that?
Would
he hasn't
she
been
know
here.
That? Like
he hasn't been
coworker.
Here. He's been cheating.
And even if he had been there, it's like, I don't know that he would have been like, hey, girly, I'm going to.
Yeah. Because then also, isn't he
Panera.
In San Francisco? So the Bistro Garden theoretically is in San Francisco.
And he's just visiting that hospital, right? It's not his normal hospital. So it's not like he would have a close, super close relationship.
And tell them where he's going. Yeah.
I never saw him on Grey's Anatomy telling Meredith that he's going to Panera. Mm. So what's he telling this woman?
Yeah,
for?
Exactly. And also like, it just seemed so weird. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah. And it is a definite HIPAA violation, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? And a medical person. You should not say the place.
Mm-hmm.
But also for her to have to find out from like that nurse or whoever, instead of like her friend Ashton Kutcher, who knows, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Can we talk about Taylor Swift of it all? Because, you know, I'm sort of a new Swiftie and Matt's like a super Swiftie now.
Yeah.
And so I got him to sit down even and watch this.
Did he say she can't dance?
No, he liked it.
Oh, yeah.
He liked it. No, he won't say anything bad about her.
She's cute.
He like won't.
She's an incredible songwriter.
Yeah, yeah.
I love her. She has a song for every occasion, by the way. As someone who recently got dumped on Christmas, she has a song for every day.
Does she have a song
for that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dumped for Christmas.
We went to the Eras tour and it did sort of turn me into the Swiftie. Gosh, but he was watching and I love this. There's a song she did, Today Was a Fairy Tale, which is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs in this movie and it plays over the credits. Yeah. But her character's a little crazy and I feel like they just said, do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she wasn't even the Taylor Swift we know now at this point. She was just like a newer artist at that time.
Yeah.
Still very popular, of course, but not where she is now. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like Gary Marshall's like, you want to come do this? Like, what kind of character you want to do?
Yeah.
You do it. You have some fun. Mm-hmm. You want to be partnered with Taylor Lautner? Go for it. They dated at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that flip he did on the, do you know that flip he does?
Yeah. Is that real? Him?
He just redid it again. Like, he went to one of the Eras tour stops and it was like a big social media thing because
he can do handsprings.
Yeah. I think totally his wife is named Taylor too, I think.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
And he dated this Taylor. Isn't that so weird?
Oh, he's got a fetish for.
So then the wife is named Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's real weird.
But then he dated the other
Have you
Taylor.
Ever dated a Danny?
No.
I've never dated a Jenna.
No. Yeah. maybe we should.
Yeah. My grandparents were named Phil and Phyllis. So growing up, I thought you had, isn't that cute?
That is
cute. I thought you had to like marry someone with your same name.
I like that. Oh,
Phil and Phyllis.
You know, my aunt, she married a Jack. My aunt Diane married a Jack. And
Jack
you know
and
that
Diane.
Jack and Diane. And I always thought that was like about them as a kid. When I was really younger, I was like, wait, is that song about them? But no, it's not.
Yeah.
I like the Taylor Swift stuff. It's fun. And
so she lives alone in the high rise that Patrick Dempsey lives in. Maybe she doesn't live alone, but it seems like she's coming and going in the elevator.
Yeah, she was in the elevator.
She talks like she's 8 years old. Like, that's her acting. She's like, oh, yeah, I just got this bear. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go, all right, I see you in the lobby sometimes. And I was like, oh, my God, she's doing, like, baby girl talk.
Because I don't think they had a character. I think it was, I almost believe that was, like, a last-minute thing. They, like, refilmed scenes.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
They added scenes to the movie. They were like, just do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you this bear. Flirt with Taylor Lautner.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Also, it's very not L.A. There's not that many buildings that have a doorman. Or have it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And families. I don't know a lot of families that live in or rent apartments in the middle of L.A.
Oh, yeah. Because that's the deal that he has a city apartment. So that's where he stays with Jennifer Garner.
Jenna, you know what's so funny?
I'm obsessed with the geography of this movie.
I know.
I can't. I'm sorry, guys.
Also, I'm looking at the list of actors and we've only done like 10% of them.
Queen Latifah. Oh, Anne Hathaway.
There's so many people we have not discussed yet.
Okay. So let's talk about Anne Hathaway.
Okay. Before we get into Anne Hathaway, I do have to say that the box office, it made $216 million on a $52 million budget, which is insane. So it made a lot of money. That's why we got more of them. Okay. Wow. Who did you say? Anne Hathaway? Yes.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway.
Oh, I have one last quote from Ashton. I'll just get this out of the way. We can leave him in the past. He says to Jennifer Garner, it's Valentine's Day. You don't think, you just do.
Mm.
And I'm like, no, I think we should.
Terrible
advice. I'm trying to think more than do less. Because I do that. And I blew up my life.
Yeah.
So
you need to think more.
Yeah. From this is Jenna to Jennifer Garner and everyone else. It's Valentine's Day. You don't do, you just think.
Yeah. You don't do. Just think. Just sit in your room and think.
Okay. Sorry. So you were to say, just sit in your room and think.
This Valentine's Day, Jenna is recommending everybody just sit in the room and just think.
Can I tell you my plan if I go on a date with the fireman on Valentine's? I want to blindfold him and light every candle in my house.
Do it.
See if he can put them out.
Do it. Jenna, you have to do it.
Give him a spray bottle and like a tiny fan.
Say,
go for it.
Sorry to put you to work.
Sorry to put you to work, but here you go.
Figure it out.
Wait, so you were going to say an Anne Hathaway quote?
Oh, a fact.
Oh, yeah.
I read again, don't know if this is true, but we're presenting it as fact, that they did approach Katherine Heigl for that role, and she wanted more money or something, but then ultimately ended up doing New Year's Eve. So apparently still liked her. Yeah. But I could talk about Katherine Heigl forever, so I won't get into it, but I do want some justice for her.
Yes. So Anne took it. And you're
Anne took it. So she's paired up with Topher Grace.
Yeah.
Which is a product of its time as well. I like Topher Grace, but it seems like him as a movie star, I don't know that it's still happening.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it since.
No. No, I remember he did the movie when I was also in college with Dennis Quaid that I saw. It was not good, but
In Good Company.
In Good Company. That's the name of
Dennis
something,
Quaid can get it still. He's hot.
Oh, see, I don't feel that way, Jenna.
Oh, man. Because
Even in
Parent Trap?
Of course.
Of
course. Yeah. But I hate him. But yeah, I'd fuck him.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, him in Parent Trap to me is like,
whew. Foxy.
And also, he was one of my early crushes. I just have an allegiance to Meg Ryan.
I can't say
that I want to have sex with him, but I do in Parent Trap. Okay. Anne Hathaway. She's charming. And was this was post Devil Wears Prada. I'm trying to think of our Anne timeline.
Yeah.
Post Devil Wears Prada.
I think it must have been.
Because that was 2007 or 8, and this was 2010. But she is charming, and I love Anne in a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I want Anne in more of them. I know she's also great in serious stuff, but I love her.
Yeah, she's so cute and fun. And I love the thing she says when she's like, I used to be a gymnast, you know? Like, it's so cute. Like, it's funny. Yeah.
She's doing like sex work
on
the
temp
side.
Worker? Is that the thing? She is a temp.
Well, she like does,
worker?
I mean, all of it's so wonky, but yeah, she does temp work for Queen Latifah in the office, and then also does sex phone work.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't even talked about Jamie Foxx.
I know.
Oh my God.
The Jamie Foxx character, Jenna, I'm sorry, was my least favorite.
Oh yeah, no.
What was the acting he was choosing to do?
Yeah, he was an angry newscaster who was number two for the sports beat, and then he played piano, which I was like, oh, we get it. You won an Oscar for Ray, or a Grammy, or whatever. You know, we get it.
And also just that arc. Okay, so he starts off the movie, he's this reporter for a local news station.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's trying to get a question for Eric Dane's character at a press conference, but he's just a local LA news guy.
Yeah.
And so while he's out and about, he does just leave the news force pretty rapidly. And then the camera person just takes over and finds a suit and then is now the news anchor.
Yeah. On Hollywood Boulevard, on the Walk of Fame.
Like,
yeah.
That was crazy.
That would never happen. Okay.
Could you imagine? I don't know. KTLA or something.
Yes. Like, I want to do this.
Like, we'll just let you do it. There's no question, nothing. No one's asking any questions. We're just giving you that role.
Yeah.
We're just promoting you midday on Valentine's Day because our other anchor just left, but he's still also employed.
Mm-hmm.
But he just handed over the camera and the microphone to this guy.
Like, weird. And he seemed like put out. You're right. Like, that's like his character was like angry about something. I don't know.
And it felt to me like Jamie Foxx was in a movie like Big Fat Liar. Or remember that movie? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like or Hotel for Dogs, or like one of those.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Like, I feel like that's what he was acting in. He wasn't acting in like a grounded romantic comedy. He was doing like a kid's Beethoven, Air Bud. I don't know. I'm naming animal movies. They
like
don't
large
have
villain acting.
Yeah. It was like just a big broad thing that I'm like, you're in a different movie, Jamie.
And was like, yes. And was Queen Latifah
her too? Maybe
Eric Dane's agent or? I couldn't tell what she was. I think she was like in, because she also knew Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Oh,
and Jamie Foxx then was like in a relationship with, or had a thing for Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
And they had a friendship. And then Jessica Biel and Jennifer Garner were like friends. They have this big party at the end for like Valentine's Day.
At an Indian restaurant.
But it's like every moment we're learning brand new things about these characters and then these things just like fall by the wayside. So we're just suddenly presented with the fact that Jennifer Garner and Jessica Biel are friends because they need to have these ties of all these characters in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, part of me either wishes there was like more of ties between all of them, or they just gave that up.
Like fewer storylines and like more meaty. Because how weird is it for Jessica Biel to get a pinata and rent a table for eight, rent reserve at an Indian restaurant where there's a wedding? I'm sure they want that eight top for
the wedding. They want that eight top.
And but she's sitting there alone at an eight top as someone who's worked in restaurants. That's mentally insane. We would have taken it after 10 minutes. But if your friends
especially
aren't here in 10 minutes,
nobody's there.
Yeah. And it's on Valentine's Day and there's a wedding going on. You can't sit there by yourself.
And also that just goes against what they just showed us in the movie where it was like that Anne Hathaway, Topher Grace, or whoever was at that restaurant where it was all crowded and they were all buy each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, of course, that's how every restaurant is on Valentine's Day. So now how did this restaurant has a wedding and it's Valentine's Day, but they have a whole eight top available? Mm-hmm. Unacceptable.
And also, like, what a kind of a weird friend. Like, if you tell all your friends who are in relationships, like, yeah, well, I'm just going to be there. So, like, if you guys want to come, and then you, like, feel bad.
I know.
It's like gaslighty, kind
of. I feel bad for our listeners who love Valentine's Day because we're just tearing it apart. But
we hope you all have really, really good ones. We
bless everybody.
Oh, and George Lopez.
Bring it back to George.
We have to do two.
Bring it home, Jenna.
We have to do four episodes of this. Oh, yeah. So George Lopez. So he's Ashton Kutcher's like assistant.
And wait. Okay. George Lopez, though, his storyline starts with a car accident.
Yes. But he gets rear-ended by Eric Dane.
But was there any? I would love to get rear-ended by Eric Dane.
Oh, me too.
Figuratively and literally.
Yes.
Okay. But they have this car accident, and then do they even call the police? That would take a couple hours. That would take like an hour at least out of your day.
I think he like goes back.
Just move past.
Oh,
this.
But then he drives away, and all the flowers come out, and I was like, oh, that's like 14 people's deliveries who aren't going to get
that's so that.
But then it shows him later on a swing set with a woman drinking Merlot. Do you remember that?
I think I blacked out. I rewound it.
Well, you probably don't because it was 4 seconds long. Okay. But all of a sudden, he's with a woman who might be his wife on a child swing set, swinging with glasses of wine. And I was like, hold on.
Jenna, I swear I don't even. I swear I watched it.
Yeah.
Rewatched it.
It was so weird.
I'm not denying it happened, but I think just so much happens that I'm like, it can't take it all. My brain can't take it all in.
It was so weird. Yeah. It was so unnecessary to even show it. But I think what Gary was trying to show us is that he's just married happily, I guess.
Do you remember in the Ninja Turtles in the 90s, there was a villain called Krang. It was like a brain.
Oh.
It was a brain, like with a face.
That's so funny.
And I'm just imagining my brain is this Krang in my head. And Krang is saying right now, like, it's too much.
It's too
like
much.
When I was watching Valentine's Day, I just imagined Krang inside my skull and saying, it's too much.
Yeah.
I can't take it all in.
Because then once you show, like, remember what we see Jessica Biel?
We didn't even talk about Shirley MacLaine.
Oh my God.
She's Shirley fucking MacLaine.
That she kind of plays herself, right? Basically, yeah. Estelle, where she's like in an old movie.
Oh yeah, she's an actor.
And so also, they go to Hollywood Forever Cemetery on Valentine's Day every year to watch her movie with her husband, Hector, who she's like, I banged your business partner. She reveals it to him at end of life. And he's even like, why tell me now?
Yeah,
and I'm honestly on Hector's side.
Yeah,
I'm like, don't tell him. Yeah, let me die thinking you were faithful. I don't care.
People need to have more secrets in general.
I agree.
Like, go for it. I don't want to know. Who cares?
Yeah.
If it's a secret that's going to hurt my feelings, then I don't think I want to know.
Yeah, don't tell me.
Keep it from me.
And almost in their 80s, you know? And it's like,
I don't know. What is this thing? Everybody thinks they got to come clean.
Come clean. Like, yeah.
Maybe sometimes you don't need to come clean.
No.
Just take it to the grave.
Stay dirty.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the people don't always want to know. Especially if it happened after all that time. Like,
Yeah, because it's different than the Jennifer Garner thing. It's like, oh, yeah, tell her now while it's still early before she gets heavily invested.
Right.
And like,
if it's fresh and it happens,
if it's fresh, tell them.
Tell me. I want to know.
But they have grandkids.
Yeah. I got grandkids.
Like, yeah.
And by the way, even if it was fresh and I'm that age, I don't know that I'd really care. Is that terrible to say?
No.
As long as it wasn't like an emotional affair.
Yeah.
Is that terrible?
No,
if
that's
I'm
not terrible.
70,
or in
I'm
your
80,
own bed. Go to a hotel.
Yeah. My partner has a quick sex or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Not as it's like impacting me.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Is that terrible to say? Don't tell Matt I said that because then he'll want to go to
like,
it.
A hall pass on the Valentine's Day episode.
I want to be clear that I'm not offering him a hall pass. But if I'm 70 and he's fucked someone, then who cares?
Yeah. I know. And like,
that's terrible.
Also, I mean, it's weird too that it was his business partner. I was like, okay, Shirley MacLaine. Like, that's a little close.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Anyways, what do you think about the...
I'm trying to go through this cast list. Oh, yeah. Did we hit all the major players? I think we hit a lot of them. I'm sure we missed people.
Yeah, Jessica Biel was like sprinting on her office treadmill when she gets the call.
Shirley MacLaine is named Estelle Paddington.
I love that. That's awesome. Estelle Paddington. That's going to be our next cat.
Wait, all of these names are insane. Can I start reading cast names?
Yes.
Okay. Kathy Bates is not even last named because we haven't talked about Kathy Bates, but she shows up as just like a station manager in a cameo.
Yes.
Wild. Her name is Susan. Doesn't have a last name.
Susan. Jesus. Susan.
Can you imagine, Jenna, the logistics of fucking hiring Kathy fucking Bates? for your movie
for 20
and only
minutes.
Giving her one or two lines in a scene where she's a sporting player for, I don't know who's what yeah. scene that was.
She tells Jamie Foxx that he can't have the anchor position, number one, because there's already someone doing it. She's like, I need you to do feel good pieces. And that's it.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You get Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing with her?
Yeah.
Okay, so then Emma Roberts also doesn't have a last name, just Grace. Julie Roberts is Captain Kate Hazeltine. None of them have last name. Taylor Swift is just Felicia. Hector Elizondo is Edgar. Patrick Dempsey gets Dr. Harrison Copeland.
That's right.
These are crazy.
Harry
I don't
Copeland.
I'm sorry to say this, but I don't really care for Jessica Alba either, in general.
Yeah.
In things. Do you?
I mean, she's like, I did like that. Was it Honey? That one, 2004.
I do love Honey.
But this movie was, her storyline was strange because I think I texted you this also that, so she sadly, I think dumps Ashton Kutcher on Valentine's Day. I also think you could have waited. And it's a little personal
sure.
because he could have waited till after Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, you don't have to dump him on Valentine's Day at his job, the florist. You can wait until President's Day or, you know, April Fool's, whatever. Right?
Yeah. Is it okay to say that your guy broke up with you on
Christmas Eve?
Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
I know.
It's just rude. I mean, yeah. on some level.
As someone who hosts a holiday pod, it was a little, you know, below the belt. But, yeah, I was just kind of like,
as the
audacity.
Host of a hit holiday podcast hit, called yeah. The Very Merry Iconic Podcast.
I was like, you can't do this to me, the queen of Christmas.
Too far.
Yeah.
Too far.
Yeah. I think I told that to my, I was like, I have a holiday movie out right now. I host a holiday podcast and you're going to dump me on Christmas Eve. This is my villain origin story.
That is, for
this
sure.
is, yeah, I'm
for
like Jenna sure. Begins. I write horror movies now.
Jenna Begins.
Jenna
did you
Begins. Ever,
did you watch 30 Rock?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. Jenna. I just always, when Jenna saying Jena, I just always thinking of Jenna.
I Maroney. Love Jane Krakowski. Oh,
she's so fucking
I met
funny.
Her. She's so cool. But at the end, I didn't hate how Jessica Alba ends up or she's like, but okay, so they do show Patrick Dempsey alone with a pizza box in his condo. And I'm like, that's hilarious. He's like yeah. an extra large mama and papa's. And then Jessica Alba is checking into the Beverly Wilshire alone with her border collie. And I was like, that's not a bad way to end up.
But wait, is Beverly Wilshire, not to get in logistics again, but do they allow dogs? Because that was a pretty big dog to just have at the Beverly Wilshire. I don't know that they're it a dog-friendly hotel.
Isn't that where
are they?
Whitney Houston passed away?
No, Beverly Hilton.
Oh, the Hilton. Okay, Beverly Wilshire. I can
wait,
look.
They're not the same.
They
right?
might not be.
I'm looking at the awards they won right now. So,
yes.
Which is crazy that they won any awards.
Won awards?
Well, but this also movie? It was a Golden Raspberry Award, which is like means it's the worst.
Perfect.
But it was nominated for other things. But who do you think? Okay, I'm going to quiz you. The Golden Raspberries are this award they
oh,
give
the
out
Razzies.
Around the Razzies. They
yeah.
give them out around the time of the Oscars, and it's meant to sort of not make fun of the Oscars. It's like the opposite of the Oscars, right? It's like
yeah.
the worst performances of the year.
Terrible.
So if I'm telling you, Jenna, that a man and a woman from this movie won a Golden Raspberry Award. Who would you say the man and the woman, who were the worst actors in this movie that you think deserved the Golden Raspberry? Because two of them did win.
Oh, Jamie Foxx and Jessica Biel.
No.
Oh, who is it?
Ashton Kutcher.
What?
And Jessica Alba.
Wow.
Ashton won a worst lead actor. And then Jessica won Worst Supporting Actress. But there were two other nominations. Do you want to guess who the other two nominated were?
Topher Grace.
Supporting Actor and then also Lead again.
Topher. And
no.
Two men. This.
Taylor Lautner.
Oh, poor
Which
guys.
I don't know why he was in Lead Actor because he had like three scenes.
Yeah.
And then Supporting Actor nominated? George Lopez.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't that bad.
No, I feel bad about that.
He was fine. He was fishing in the Venice canals, by the way. He remember he bought that fishing rod.
Oh, yeah.
That is, you would never do that. Another geography thing, like those fish, we are upstream from the power plant. You do not fish in this water.
Right.
Yeah.
Also some other awards that were nominated for Best Kiss at the MTV Movie Awards, Taylor Swift and Taylor Lautner. People's Choice, it was nominated for Favorite Comedy Movie somehow, inexplicably. What? A lot of Teen Choice Awards nominations.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A lot of Teen Choice. It won the Romantic Comedy for Teen Choice Award. It won Ashton Kutcher,
what?
Not only did he win the Golden Raspberry, but he also won a Teen Choice Award for this movie. So I guess they balanced each other's out.
Hysterical.
And then also Taylor Swift won a Choice Movie Breakout at the Teen Choice Awards. Wow.
Wow.
This is wild.
That is wild.
Anyway, that's... And Jenna, do you have any other thoughts about this movie?
I mean, probably
sure
will never watch it again.
Half of it. I'm sure we missed half of the actors.
I'll probably never watch it again. But...
Yeah, you know what's weird about it? I always thought I loved this movie. And New Year's Eve, I genuinely rewatch and like, even though I recognize it's bad. But I was watching this Valentine's Day and thinking, I don't know that I need to rewatch it again. I actually feel this similarly.
Yeah.
It's not, to me, it's not like a fun rewatch bad.
No.
You know, it's like kind of.
I think Ashton's, it plays it super cheesy in a way that I think if everyone played it really grounded, you know, like even like having that child running around.
The child annoyed the shit out of me too. I'm
sorry. Yeah, he was like, I need these. Where are my flowers?
He was a bad actor.
I don't know if this kid would be doing all this.
No, he was a bad actor.
Yeah.
And then
he had a crush on the Indian girl in his class. So he ends up at the Indian wedding where the child is working, by the way, like labor laws. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
But she has to work on Valentine's because there's that wedding.
I know.
I don't know.
And I didn't like his acting. I was just distracted by that little shit's acting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I mean, like, God bless him, but bring back Macaulay. I mean, we need some talent back in kid acting because this was not a...
Yeah.
And I hope he's doing well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We wish him the best.
Yeah. We wish him all the best. And that's how I think we'll end this, Jenna. Yeah. And...
Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day. Maybe we'll be back in throughout the year at some other point.
Yeah.
But, under promise, over deliver, but probably not. You probably won't hear from us again until October, November. But we will be. We love you. We will see each other and maybe we'll do another one. Yeah. But Jenna, tell everyone where they can find you on social media.
Oh yeah. I'm at jenna.brister.
Yes. And I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Yeah. And, you can listen to my other podcast. It's called Everything Iconic. And then I have a couple books out you can get, but, love you all.
Love you, Jenna. And, love you. Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.